the call comes ringing o'er the restless wait. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Oh, send the light, send the light. Oh, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Oh, send the light, send the light. Oh, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Oh, send the light, send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Oh, send the light, send the light. Oh, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Let us gather jewels for the crown above. Oh, send the light, send the light. Oh, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Oh, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Hallelujah. Just an old song, but I'm going to preach on an old song today. Why don't you take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. I preached something similar about a year and a half ago, and this morning when I was praying and I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to bring forth, this, I couldn't get away from this. It's going to be a little bit different, but I couldn't get away from it. The Lord laid this scripture on my heart again. So if you'll bear with me as I preach the word of the Lord today, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, and I'm going to ask Brother Rick to come and pray and ask the blessing of the word, preaching of the word of the Lord today. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, sometimes it's just not time. And then the Lord says it's time. He knows better. He's God. The Bible says later on that they turned all of Asia upside down. So they went, just not then. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing through Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him and said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. With the help of the Lord, today I'd like to preach for a little while about the Macedonian call. Brother Rick, would you pray and ask the blessing of the Lord?
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which we are about to receive today, O Lord. Prepare our heart to receive thy word, Lord. Let thy word be in our heart. Speak to us through your servant. But bless your servant today, Lord, as he ministers your word, and anoint each and every heart, Lord. And let it be a tremendous blessing in the life of us today to hear thy word and to receive it gladly in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you can be seated. Acts chapter 16 gives us the story of what has been called the Macedonian call. Of course, that's what the song we sang, Send the Light, is based on. That old gospel song, Send the Light, the blessed gospel light, was inspired by this portion of Scripture. The second verse of that old song says, we have heard the Macedonian call today. Let me tell you what our business is. Our business is souls. Amen? Our business is preaching the truth of the Word of God. Not every church that is out there preaches what should be preached. Amen. And our business is to preach the Word of God in its fullness and to save souls. Every day people are dying lost and undone. People are going to hell every day. They die lost. And our business is if we could just redeem some. Obviously, we cannot save the world. I wish that I could save the world. It used to bother me. You see all these things about, you know, feed the children, the starving children. And I realized that I could give every penny that I have. And those commercials, those advertisements, they would still be there. Because I alone cannot save the world. I can do my little part, but that's all I can do. And I believe that's what God is asking us today, is will you do your part? Paul, of course, was the great apostle and the missionary to the Gentiles. And I can only speculate, but I see Paul as a very motivated individual. There are people that are what they call self-starters, is what they call them in our society. Nobody has to tell them to get up in the morning. Nobody has to tell them to go to work. And when they're at work, nobody has to tell them to do their job. Amen. We should all be self-starters. When you're a self-starter, you honor the Lord. We should not be lazy and slothful in business. Amen. The Bible tells us to be fervent in business. So it teaches us to be honorable and it teaches us to work and to give our employer what we can give our employer. But amazingly, several times in his life, we're not really that amazing, but Paul has visions and God is in communication with him and directing him from time to time. We like the spectacular, don't we? We like to see God do things, but the fact of the matter is that God doesn't work the same way every day. You can read some of the great stories in the book of Acts, and some of those things took years between their happenings. It doesn't really seem that things happened every day or every service or every Sunday. And when you get into that kind of spirit and you get into that kind of attitude, you can go off into what I call strange fire. When you try to make God do something that he's not ready to do, and he ain't going to do it, so you borrow from the wrong spirit. Amen. But one of these visions that Paul did have involved the Macedonian call. And Paul saw a man imploring him, come to Macedonia and help them preach the gospel. Isn't that what we need in our church today, in our area today? So many people lost and dying and going to hell, but so many laborers. The Bible says to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field. According to researchers, the Apostle Paul was no more than 30 years old when he was struck down on the road to Damascus and converted by a vision. We find this experience recorded in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 verses 3 through 8 tells us, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, Why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. Paul was in the place where he had a great revelation of Jesus Christ that day. You can read later on in the book of Acts, perhaps around chapter 22, right in the area. And it tells him, it tells us that Paul, he expounds on this a little more. And it says, Paul heard a voice unto him speaking in the Hebrew tongue. And of course, in the Hebrew tongue, the name Jesus is Yeshua. And if you were to look up some of the definitions, it means God is my salvation, or God has become my salvation. And in that place, Paul had a revelation that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Paul was a young man full of zeal and loved the God of Israel. But he was so zealous that God had to knock him down and give him a vision in broad daylight, blinding him in the process. But with the exception of Acts chapter 9, all Paul's visions were mainly at night. You can look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, at least the ones that we have recorded. Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, Then spake the Lord unto Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold thou peace. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. Some people get spooked by this kind of stuff. But the word of the Lord tells us in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, It shall come to pass afterwards, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit. Not another spirit, but God's spirit, God's Holy Spirit, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. In Acts 2:17, Paul related this prophecy as something that would happen during the time when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Let me tell you a little bit about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's something that's great, and if you've never received the Holy Ghost today, God can fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost today. It's not something that's preached very much today, because people, part of what it is, I believe, is there's a consecration that is required to live for God, and some folks want to live for God without any consecration. Come on. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Let's have a good time. That's what they say. But when it comes to living for God, they're not too happy about that. And if you don't have a spirit that has a desire to live for God, it's going to be very hard for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. So that's part of the problem that we have today. Another part, of course, is just simply a lack of faith and a lack of preaching. But the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is still for us today. Amen. Just like it came down in the book of Acts. It tells us that it was a sound of a rushing mighty wind in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And each of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The Lord chose speaking in tongues to tame that wildest member of the body and let his spirit come forth through that thing. Now let's go back to Paul. Many of his visions were at night. So why wouldn't God move? Why would God move in the nighttime? The Bible talks about the still small voice of God. And the prophet Samuel heard it at night. And obviously the prophet Elijah was very familiar with the still small voice of God. We tend to like grand things though, don't we? We love it when the Holy Ghost moves. We love to see people get healed. If we were to see somebody today that had a short leg and a long leg and get healed, we'd just go crazy. Look what God has done. We like that. And we like wonders. And some people are just into the prophetic. You got to get prophesied over it. Let me tell you something. That really, some of what we see today in that area of prophecy where you go and they call out people and so on and so forth, they're trying to take the place of God in your life. Because if you have a walk with God, let me tell you something, you can hear from God. Amen? You can hear from God. That's why you don't see those folks in our church. Because I'm not going to have that. Because it takes the place of the Lord and puts a man in God's place. And I don't believe that God wants that. There's a place, the Bible talks about the gift of prophecy. But I don't believe he's talking about a guy that gets up and goes out and calls out people, tell you what to do and tell you which way to go. I don't think that that's what the Lord is talking about there. But that's a subject for another time. Some people like that. We like big booming voices speaking from heaven. But while the gifts of the Spirit are real and there are signs and wonders as God chooses, we don't choose the signs and wonders. The Lord chooses them. We just move with the Holy Ghost. This is why you've got to be sensitive to the Lord. This is why you've got to have a prayer life. This is why you've got to do some fasting in your life to seek the face of God. Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. He said, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. What was the sign of Jonah the prophet? He was a man that came out of tribulation preaching repentance to the people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24 tells us, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Oh, isn't that foolish to preach that you need to be saved? You need the Holy Ghost. You need to get baptized. What kind of foolishness is that? Isn't there some kind of sign that God would send? But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul understood what the sign of Jonah the prophet was. It was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I don't know if you know much more than Jonah got swallowed by a whale. I was reading the other day, they got a new theory out that Jonah went in a submarine. Well, they say Moses crossed the marsh too. So, if God has the ability to create the universe, well, you say, well, it took God a billion years. No, it didn't. He just spoke and it existed. Maybe that's where that, maybe the Big Bang is real. I don't know. God spoke and it went boom, everything came into creation. I've been thinking about that lately. But if God has the ability, even if it took him a billion years to create the universe, that's a billion years that we couldn't do it. And believe me, it didn't take him a billion years. But getting just a little whale to listen to him and swallow Jonah is simply not a big deal for God. God can do things that we think are not possible, and for him, it's just not a big deal. Amen. Brother Rick tells a story one time, and I won't go into whole details, but he had a financial need, and he looked in his account, and there was $5,000 more than the balance. Was that correct? That was correct. How did that happen? He checked it out, and it was real. Hallelujah. I could use a blessing like that sometimes. God don't always do that. But he provides. Believe me, he provides. That's one of those things I call a God thing. My son Joshua, when he was born, was in, they medevaced him out and took him to ICU. My wife's one tough little lady, I'll have you know. She had a C-section. The baby was taken from her. He was not going to live unless they took him to Oklahoma City, which was about 100 miles away. And she told the doctor, my baby's in Oklahoma City. I'm going up there. He said, if you can get up in the morning and take a shower. Now, this was a day after a C-section. She said, I'm going to see my baby. She called me up. I don't remember what time it was. She said, come down, help me take a shower. We drove up there, and I had Brother Whalen come, our superintendent from the Oklahoma district, who I was affiliated with then, prayed for my son, and God healed him. They don't know how it happened. They don't know. They just don't understand. I know what happened. God did something. The Lord does things. So for Jonah, for the Lord to say, okay, well, I got a guy I want you to pick up. Wasn't no submarine. The Lord had the ability to talk to a whale and say, I got a guy I want you to pick up. And I don't know if you realize this about Jonah, but what happened to Jonah was that precipitated this event was that God told him, hey, if the Lord has called you to preach and you run from God, you're going to be in trouble one day. I know a preacher says the preacher calls you to preach. Preacher don't call you to preach. God calls you to preach. And if the Lord is calling you and the Lord has called you in the past, he has not forgotten. Jonah chapter 1, the first two verses. Instead of preaching the word, he was a man that decided later for that. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord is, actually I think Brother Rick preached on this scripture last week. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah and spoke to him, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. The scripture is silent the way the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It doesn't tell us. He didn't say he had this great vision or he just felt the moving of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God. Of course, he didn't have the Holy Ghost like we do today, moving the Spirit of the Lord. Doesn't tell us that. Maybe it was a nighttime vision. Maybe it was an early morning prayer where the still small voice of God spoke to him, and Jonah responded not by saying, yes, Lord, but later for you. It's one of the things I love dearly about my wife. Every time I've come to her and said, God spoke to me, she said, do it. She's a great lady. She really is a great lady. But I know one thing about God, that if he called you, if you've heard sometime in the past, perhaps even the Macedonian call, you can run, but you cannot hide. Because God has your number. Let me tell you something about God. He's not sorry you're called. He's not sorry he called you. He's not sorry he called your sorry person. Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes I feel inadequate, and I have to remind myself my ministerial gifts and my callings are not of myself. When you try to preach the word out of a desire to have a career, you are making a huge mistake. It has got to be the call of God on the life of an individual. You cannot choose a career. I think I'll be a doctor. I think I'll be a lawyer. I think I'll be a construction person. I think I'll be a preacher. You can decide to be a doctor. You can decide to be a lawyer. You can decide to build things, but you cannot decide to be a preacher of the gospel. That's amen, whether anybody wants to say amen or not. He tells us that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So no matter if you feel like you've messed up your life, or no matter if you feel like you're not worthy, it doesn't matter, because you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. He's the one that's worthy, and the only thing that we can do is follow in his footsteps, hear the voice of God, and say, yes, Lord. We don't know exactly why Jonah did what he did, but Jonah tried to run, and he tried to hide from God, and he found himself in a whale of a situation where he didn't really have a, I mean, what kind of anyway? You know, God says, okay, you're in the belly of the whale. It's 3 days now. You ready to preach or you ready to stay here? He didn't have a whole lot of choice. That's a tough one, isn't it? What would have happened if Jonah said, I'm still not preaching? I don't know. Would that whale still be swimming around in the ocean now till the Lord decided it's time to spit out Jonah 2,000 years, 3,000 years later? I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. But I know something, that he wasn't going to get out of that situation until he had an encounter with God. Kind of reminds me of my brother-in-law, Mickey Mounce. Yes, his name is Mickey Mounce. I think I've said this before. If my mother, he was born, he's my age, maybe a couple of years older. When I was a kid, Mickey Mouse was the thing. Can you imagine what you went through in school if your name was Mickey Mouse? It had to be horrible. I might have to shoot my mother. It couldn't be anything great. But Mickey was backslid for some time, about 17, maybe 16, 17 years old. I think 17 years old, he got out of church, married my wife's sister, joined the military, and got away from home, got away from the family, and he went off to see the world. And the only problem was that God had his number. And somewhere later on, maybe about 15, 20 years, was it, honey? He was in the military, and God had not forgotten him. You see, you can go a long way from God, and the gifts and the callings of God are still without repentance. You may have messed up, you know, what's going to happen, but God is still not sorry he called you. And Mickey, all of a sudden, he was in the military and he got sick. He got really sick. They still don't know what happened to him. Do you remember how long he was in the hospital? He was in the hospital for a while, wasn't he? For some time he was in the hospital. They ran tests. They didn't know what was wrong with him. He was there until one night the Holy Ghost talked to him and said, "You remember I called you to preach?" And Mickey said, "Yes, Lord, I will preach the gospel." That same hour, his testimony is, it broke. He got better. They let him out of the hospital the next day. They had no idea what was going on. You see, Mickey had been running from God, and he grew up in a pastor's home. And no matter how good it looks, I'll tell you what, unless you're called to God, you don't want to be a pastor. Now, if you're called to God, you better do it. But if you're not, believe me, it's not all glory. It's a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. It's not the greatest thing in the world. It's not what I would choose to do. But I love where God has brought me. Don't get me wrong. I love this church. I love you folks. I love the place where God has brought me. I would never give it up in the world. I couldn't do that. But it's not something that I would choose. But when you're in the will of God, God can do some great things in your life. But a pastor's life and pastor's kids, they can have problems. They can have difficulties. He knew the problems and the ministry entailed, and he just simply was not interested. But God was not interested in him not being interested, because it was time for Mickey to answer the call. He stayed in that hospital, and he got, all of a sudden, God came to him. "Are you going to preach now?" Kind of like Jonah. Jonah's in the belly of the whale for 3 days. "Okay, Jonah, how long is this going to take? Are you ready?" My brother-in-law said, "Yes, today he's serving the Lord, retired from the military, pastoring a church in Texaco, New Mexico, out in the middle of nowhere somewhere." They look at us and they say, "How could you be where we are?" And I'm like, "How in the world could you be in no man's land where there's tumbleweeds and rattlesnakes? And in New Mexico, let me tell you, it's not hot here today. Over there, at another 15, 20 degrees. It gets hot out there. So if you don't want to go to hell, you don't want to be lost." That problem. If you don't like the heat, you don't want to be lost. That's going to be a hot place. But let me paint a mental picture of you, if I could, for Jonah. He spent 3 nights and days in the belly of the whale, and God kept him alive. And you say, "Well, I don't see how God could keep him alive and alive in the belly of the whale. He would be dead. He would be digested." Hey, you know what? We're talking about God here. We're not talking about reality. You say, "Well, isn't God real?" Yeah, God is real. But if I decided here, eat my son, he's going to be dead. But God can take reality and make it surreal, and you can live through things. You don't believe that? What about the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast into the fiery furnace, the word of the Lord tells us in Daniel. And when the king went over to look, he said, I threw three guys in there, and lo, I see four. Like one is like the Son of God. And they're just, "Hey, king, how you doing? We're walking around the fire." When God has got his hand on you, crazy things can happen. Things that are just not living in our current reality. You're living in God's reality. And that's where Jonah was, living in God's reality. So he's in there for 3 days and 3 nights, and you don't know anything about whales. They're eating stuff. They're eating seaweed. They're eating plankton. So perhaps after 3 days, Jonah wasn't looking too good. Maybe God didn't protect his clothes. They were all bleached. Maybe he was a little bleached. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, okay, whale, time to spit out Jonah. So he sends the whale up to the beach. Boom! Jonah's a giant spitball. So he rolls over onto the sand, and he gets up, and he's like this, and he's got seaweed hanging on him. He's bleached, and there's a guy sitting there that was fishing looking at him, and his eyes are real wide. And Jonah looks at him and says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that guy must have went crazy. Can you imagine seeing a whale spit a human spitball out? He comes rolling over, you get up and start preaching. What would you do? It must have been one wild time. We know the result of that. The result was that Jonah did what the Lord wanted him to do. God spared that city because they turned to him in repentance and in fasting. So what right does God have to destroy that city? God's got the right because he's God. Why is it that though that so many of these experiences come at night with God? Why is it that we only find one recorded time that God spoke to Paul in a vision during the day? Because for the most part, nighttime is a quiet time. Perhaps we don't have many experiences with God because we're way too busy. We're lights out, man, there ain't no God, no dreams, no nothing. We're so tired from running around and being busy. Our life are filled with this. We go, 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 go. We fall asleep exhausted. Even if the Holy Ghost talked to us, we didn't have the ability to hear him. I have found in the years that I've served the Lord that tiredness and exhaustion and busyness are just as much an enemy of our soul as the devil is. You can allow yourself to get so busy you can't hear from God. You say, well, what am I going to do? You know, I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, then you just need to pray that the Lord would help you. Change your situation. Something change. Or you got to make time for God. I found out something in my life, and as some of you know, I can be very busy. I was here till I got home 10 o'clock last night, I think it was, and I was working all week putting air conditioning downstairs. It's a little cooler downstairs now. The humidity is gone, and I can be very, very busy. But you know where I am? I was at prayer yesterday at 6 in the morning. We have Saturday prayer, 6 in the morning. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I don't care how tired I am. I was tired Friday. Amen. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I was here Thursday night for church. I was tired then too. You have to make a determination that you're going to set your time aside for God, and you're going to let God be God in your life. Amen. You may say, I've prayed and nothing has happened. And I've asked God to, you know, some people pray like this. They sit there and say, you know, I don't know why I'm praying over this. Nothing's going to happen anyway, but let me try anyway. Oh, God, would you help me in this situation? Would you move this mountain? You know, he ain't going to do anything anyhow. Right? The Bible tells us when you pray in faith believing, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. Of course, that's all subject to the will of God. Sometimes the Lord lets a mountain stay in our life till we get some sense in our head. Don't ever go to prayer thinking that God's not going to answer it anyhow, or else you might as well not even pray. We need to pray and have faith that God is able to do what we're asking him to do. David said, and I've quoted this many times, that if I had not believed I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have fainted. If I couldn't believe that God would answer my prayer, I would have fainted too. I would have said, what's the use? Things are not going to happen. God's not going to do anything. Nothing's going to go right. Nothing's going to happen. No, 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 no. When you get down and you begin to pray, and if nothing's happening, maybe you ought to fast a little bit. Begin to seek the face of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. When you fast and you pray, God does stuff. You're not twisting the arm of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that there was a time when Daniel fasted and the Lord sent an angel and the devil hindered an angel. And sometimes you just got to fast and you pray. Well, why does God have to let it be hindered by a devil's angel? I don't know the answer to that one. But I do know that when you pray and when you fast, you give those angels a kind of like a little bit of a boost there. It's almost like a channeling of an energy from the energy of the Lord because of your faith going to them. I don't know exactly how it works. The Bible is very, very silent on those things. So all I can do is just simply speculate. And my speculation may be right, may not be right. So you can't make speculation doctrine. Amen? You cannot make your speculations. When you make your speculations doctrine, you're wrong. Amen? So anyway, Mark 6 and 31, brother. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure as much to eat. Jesus would often go into the mountains to pray alone. He would set himself apart in a desert place. Why did he do that? Because he knew the importance of getting some quiet time. We have got to have some time apart. If you don't periodically set yourself apart, you're liable to come apart. Amen. So if you're going on vacation, God bless you. Have a good time. Set yourself apart a little bit. Don't forget about God. When I go on vacation, hopefully I'll get one this year. Going to general conference, but that's not really a vacation. I want to set myself apart. I want to go with my wife, have a nice time, enjoy myself. You ought to be happy that if I can go on vacation this year, I go on vacation. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We read the account of Elijah during his time of discouragement. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. He came hither into a cave, lodged himself there. You know the story. God does this great thing. He calls down fire from heaven. The sacrifices are consumed. The prophets of Baal are killed. Then one woman called Jezebel. You notice that you never see anybody name. I don't know one person ever named their daughter Jezebel. Not one person. But Jezebel comes to Elijah and says, "You're toast." So how does this man of faith react? He runs. He says, "She's going to kill me." What do you mean she's going to kill you? You just call fire down from heaven. We can get discouraged. Amen. Has anybody ever been discouraged? You know, the worst thing that you can do is when you're discouraged, stay out of church. Stay away from the Lord. That doesn't make any sense to me. You're starving to death. You stay away from food? No. If you're starving to death, you eat. Why is it that people that are discouraged, "I just can't go to church. I can't be in the house of the Lord." Why not? You never know if that's the day when God is going to come down and there's going to be something mighty happen in your life. Something powerful. Something great. It's sure not going to happen when you're sitting at home mully grubbing saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm just going to eat worms and die." Amen. You say, "Well, I've sinned." Well, just come to the house of the Lord anyway. Present yourself before the Lord. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Bible tells us that Elijah went and he ran 13 miles. Doesn't say 13 miles, but if you measure a map, he ran 13 miles. I get tired after running a block. And he ran 13 miles. This woman must have really scared him. But anyway, it says he came to a cave lodge there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, I've been very jealous, God. You know, there's nobody like me, you know. And I'm, you know, all these people, they're just not living like they should be living. You know, the children of Israel forsaken their covenant and blah, 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 blah. You know, I think God was just sitting there saying, "Okay, all right." And finally, tells us that there was a fire, and there was an earthquake, and there was a wind, and God wasn't in it. But he was in the still, small voice. And that was the thing, that even though Elijah was discouraged, he knew the voice of God. In our generation, there are many voices competing and vying for your attention, and there are even many church voices speaking and vying for our attention. They got a lot of things going around that you folks don't even hear of because God has told me don't do it. Stay away from it. You know, it's just like in Oklahoma, one guy gets a bus and starts a children's ministry, and, you know, his church is successful with that. So everybody goes out and they buy a bus, and they're not successful with it. And they say, why? Because God didn't tell you to do that. You got to hear from God. You got to hear from the Lord. And see, that is the key to all these things. Sometimes you'll listen to preaching, and you'll hear this one say that, and you'll hear this one say that. Well, how come we're not doing that? Well, if you think I ought to do it, why don't you pray and talk to the Lord and say, hey, God, he ought to do that. Maybe God will tell you there's a different way. Or maybe I ought to be doing it, and I just don't have enough faith. But whatever the case is, the key is to seek the face of the Lord. The key is to pray. The key is to have a relationship with God. This is why about 3-4 months ago we started our 6 a.m. prayer. Why? Because I want to get you tired, get you up out of bed? No, because there's something about coming into the house of the Lord and honoring God with your Saturday morning. We went home and went to bed for a couple hours. Then I got back down, came down to work again. Hannah came to Hannah. Are you a morning person? You're not a morning person. Man, I didn't think you were a morning person. We come downstairs. Hannah's staying with us for a few weeks, and she come downstairs. She was ready to go and to pray. And when we were down here praying, I could see the Holy Ghost on her. Is that a testimony? The Spirit of the Lord? You felt the presence of God in this place. There's something about when you take step out of yourself and say, I'm going to seek the face of God. Did we have angels bouncing off the walls? No, we didn't have any angels bouncing off of the walls. There was no visions. There was no, you know, none of these great things. Nobody was running around the sanctuary. Nobody was, you know, nothing crazy was going on. We were just praying, seeking the face of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes what you even need to do when you pray, people got a problem with this. They say, well, people aren't praying enough. Well, sometimes you need to listen. We get to go in so much. We say, oh, God, would you do this? Oh, God, would you do that? Oh, God, would you help me? And the Lord's saying, will you shut up for a second so I can talk to you? Or maybe he says it the Bible way, hold your peace. We're rude. We say, shut up. Maybe the Lord's saying, why don't you hold your peace for a few minutes and let me talk to you? Let me impress on your heart. Let me move on your spirit. How many of you ever felt that in the middle of the night? There's been times, doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes I'll be in the middle of the night, all of a sudden I will wake up and I will begin to hear the voice of the Lord begin to talk to me. Sometimes I have complete messages like I'm preaching today, complete things just in the middle of the night, just like from one to another to another to all night long. I just feel the voice of God dealing with me. Am I hearing voices? No. If you hear voices all the time, you probably need lithium, but it's the Holy Ghost moving on you. The Spirit of the Lord making impressions on you. I know people that need lithium, believe me. One of them wanted to come to church here. And she said, I want to start coming to church. I said, well, you got to do me one thing. I said, no talking to Jesus and talking. You'd have to know this to understand this woman. No talking to Jesus and the devil during church. She acts real weird. I said, you got to take your medicine. You got to let me be your pastor. She said, no. I said, you made your decision. And she never came. Praise the Lord. You got to hear the voice of the Lord. But how many of us, and I've done this, I've laid awake at night, our minds are spinning, different voices compete for our attention. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, you're thinking about tomorrow, you're thinking about last week, you're thinking about a problem, somebody yelled at you, somebody got upset with you, somebody got mad at you, you know. Hey, you know what? Let them get mad, they'll get over it. You know who said this to me? So? I kind of figured out one thing. When they're talking about me, they're talking about a good subject. I had somebody get mad at me this week. Not anybody in the church. Nobody around here. The guy from a long way off got mad at me for something or other. I still haven't figured out quite what. But you know what? He'll get over it. We can't let what people do upset us to the point where we can't serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Paul's mind, and let me just go back to this just one moment here. It's hard to hear that still small voice of God amid the busyness of life. And it's one of the great benefits of fasting is settling your mind. It's hard on the flesh. We all like to eat, don't we? I like to eat. Can you tell? But sometimes we just got to set ourselves aside. We've got to seek the face of the Lord. He will touch your mind. I've had times in my life where I have just had to set myself aside and let the Lord just begin to seek the face of the Lord and let God talk into me. If you're too busy to be stirred by the Lord from time to time at night, let me tell you something. You're too busy. Time to slow down. In speaking to the many missionaries that have stayed in my home and Anna's staying in our missionary room, and I love to have missionary families. They're always such a blessing. And all the stories are all the same. When the people in the mission field begin to get a vision of what the Lord wants to do, and not only that, it really takes off is when they begin to become a part of the work of God. I don't want to be mean, so don't think I'm being mean. But it's hard to get organized when the majority of us are late. Right? It's hard. It's hard. So you have got to buy in the vision. You have got to decide, I'm going to be involved. You have got to be in that place that says, I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to do what I feel like the Lord wants me to do. The truth of the matter is, that the church can only be so effective, can only grow so far without the people getting a vision and hearing, as it were, the Macedonian call that goes forth today. Some have already heard it. Brother Soon has said this during the offering. I want to thank you for supporting us. Some of us have been here for a long time since we started the church. You've paid your tithes. You give your offerings. When there's been troubling times, you stood there behind us. We appreciate you, and we love you, and we thank you. Some of you folks have given when you don't have to give. God bless you. You don't know how hard it is for me to take an offering. You don't know how hard it is for me to take a tithe from somebody that they don't know how they're going to make it this next week. It's really hard for me. It really is. But I understand one thing, that it's your blessing. Amen. It's your blessing. So I cannot cause you to rob God. I can't turn you into a thief. I just have to sit back and say, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord. And I've seen God do some great things in some people's lives. Amen. So some of you folks have been here a long time. You could be a little more involved. You know, that's true. But in all, I appreciate your support, and I appreciate without you, we couldn't be here. Amen. We couldn't be here without you. God bless you. God bless you. But I think that we need to hear the Macedonian call today a little bit, that somehow we need to get out of our shell. Somehow we need to come to that place. What does that song say, honey? Lord, I need a brand new touch, or something like that. You know, when you talk about where the Lord first brought you from and where I am today, is that song? Would you come in the meantime and maybe you can sing that for us? Sometimes we go on with life, and sometimes life is tiring, and sometimes the Lord wants to just speak one more time and say, I've got a call for you. I wonder, maybe somebody could just be renewed in their vision that, you know, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right time. This is the will of God for me. Whatever the case is, I think that perhaps there is several things working here today. When the Lord brings my attention to something and I preach it as strongly as I have today, I know the Holy Ghost is in it. I know the Holy Ghost is in this today. There's a call that goes out. We don't know who that man was. We never find out who the man was praying. Isn't that so cool that God can do that? That this guy can be praying. And Paul sees the guy's face saying, hey, Paul, why don't you come down here? Maybe it wasn't Paul. Maybe it was just general help. You know, come down to Macedonia and help us preach the gospel. God knows we need help in this area. We are in no man's land here. Amen. We don't need another pastor. We got one, so I hope you don't kick me out. But we need folks that have got a burden for the work of God. Amen? We need folks that got a burden for the work of God. Got a good and a humble and a sweet spirit. Not ready to put up with foolishness, but ready to hear the truth of the Word of God preached. Ready to have some stable meat of the Word of God. Not some crazy stuff that's going on in our land today. So we never find out who that man was, but I think it's so cool. I don't know if the man was praying right then and saying, God, would you talk to Paul and have Paul come to Macedonia? And the Lord said, hey, Paul, I got something I want to show you. And he kind of links their two minds. I don't know if that's what happened. Again, I can only speculate. I can only speculate. The bottom line is, God's awesome. Amen? God is awesome. Like I said, now they're saying, well, Jonah got picked up by a submarine. Well, God is awesome. He can just speak to that great fish, tell him, I got somebody I want you to swallow. Just keep for a couple of days for me. Keep track of him for me. They say the Red Sea was a marsh, and the children of Israel went through the marsh, and Pharaoh's chariots got stuck in the mud. I think their brain is stuck in the mud. I've got an awesome God that has the ability to say to Moses, go ahead and throw down that rod. I'm going to part the sea. You're going to walk through on dry land. And when it comes time for Pharaoh and his army to come through, they're going to be deep sixed. Our God is an awesome God. You say, how did he do it? I don't know. He's God. Amen? He's God. But I believe the call is going forth one more time today. Maybe somebody has been struggling with a call to preach the word of God. He's not sorry he called you. Yeah, that's fine. And maybe someone is struggling. I don't know what to do. The Lord is dealing with you some stuff today. I know that, I won't get into that. I won't get into that. But maybe some of us just need that reaffirming of the Lord. Sister Evanson is going to sing. And if one of the girls, you know the song, please come help her. Amen. Why don't you just let the song minister to you a little bit.
Lord, you know I need a brand new.
why don't you come if you feel like the Lord is talking to you, the Lord's dealing with you, the Lord's reaffirming some things in your life. Why don't you come? Step out of your pew. Come on, gather around the front and ask the touch of the Lord in your life, in your mind. I believe God's reaffirming some things today. I believe that God's giving some direction today. Why don't you listen to the voice of the Lord? You don't have to say a whole lot. Sometimes, like I said, it's just better just sit there and listen and let the Holy Ghost talk to you.
amen to the Lord for his word.
Hallelujah.
One man in Macedonia crying out unto the Lord, we need help. Just one man. Amen. If you need help, why can't you cry out to the Lord and receive just like that man received? The power of prayer. Amen. Because of one man, the whole nation, of the Macedonian's nation, at that time they were not part of Greek, they were by themselves. They were a little island by themselves. Because of that man, the gospel came. Repentance came. Forgiveness came. And salvation came. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word, Lord, which give us light today, O Father. Your word that would light up our path. It's a lamp unto our feet, Lord. Help us to love thy word. And keep thy word in our heart that we might not sin against thee, Lord. To walk in your ways, Lord. To honor you in everything, in work, and indeed, Lord, in thoughts also, Lord. Let us be quick to give you praise and honor, Lord, but let us also seek thy face, Lord, and seek thy mercy through your through repentance, O Lord, that, Lord, it will be right with our soul. For too many times our souls are lost, Lord. There are many souls that is lost. Too many times we have done wrong. Not knowingly, Lord, but thank you for your grace and the word that we hear, Lord, through the preaching, that it would bring us to your place, Lord, that where we, our sins stand before us and we see our life in the wrong path, Lord, and ask indeed to forgive us. We thank you for that mercy, Lord. We thank you for your patience with us, Lord. But we ask you to help us also to be patient with others. Make us slow to wrath, Lord. Give us thy peace, Lord, and let us be slow to anger also, that we will reflect you. For you are that light, Lord, and we here on earth represent you. Help us to be more like you, Father. That when men see our good work, they will give you the glory and give you the honor, Lord. How much we have to thank you for, Lord. But in a humble way, we just say thank you. Let your peace be with us this day, Father. And fill us with your spirit. And forgive us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is it good to be in his presence? Now, if I ask you to tell me how many of you felt him today, could you show your hands? Don't be ashamed. Don't deny his presence. If you say it's good to be in his presence, you ought to feel his presence. Amen? Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Remember Thursday night service and Saturday morning prayer.